I'm going to be making the case that post-modernity, rather than dying and going away, has actually become the default setting for the way people think in many of the churches today.
Chris Roseborough, on his presentation, Postmodernism in the Church, at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois.
As a result of it, it constitutes a significant threat against biblical, historic, Orthodox Christianity, because its epistemology is extremely irrational, subjective-based, and in fact, it's even a form of enthusiasm, God-withinism, that at the end of the day has as its project the eroding away and deconstructing of what historic Christianity teaches and confesses.
You can find out more about the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois, at issuesetc.org.
I believe that's walking in open rebellion to God and to Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian. I don't agree with homosexuality. I think it's a sin, as I think all sex outside of marriage between a man and a woman is. There are a lot of Christians in the NBA, and just because they disagree with that lifestyle, they don't want to be viewed and called bigoted and intolerant and things like that. Just like I may tolerate someone whose lifestyle I disagree with, and he disagrees with my beliefs and my lifestyle, but true tolerance and acceptance is being able to handle that as mature adults and not criticize each other and call each other names.
Well, ESPN's Chris Broussard speaking there on Outside the Lines. Those remarks have gotten almost as much attention as the news, the announcement of professional basketball's first openly gay player, Jason Collins, and he's reacting to that. And it has become a bit of a media circus. What do you do? The first openly gay NBA player comes out, Sports Illustrated front page story, telling his own story. And someone in the sporting community, ESPN sports analyst, says, look, I gotta say, as a Christian, I believe that that, along with all these other sexual sins that he mentions, are living in open rebellion to God. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Tuesday afternoon, the 30th of April. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute joins us to talk about the comments made by an ESPN analyst about a professional basketball's first openly gay player. A little bit later, Pastor Tom Baker will join us. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson, the Lord's Prayer, Luke chapter 11, Jesus teaching us to pray. Now, you can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me on.
How much courage did it take for ESPN analyst Chris Broussard to speak publicly about homosexuality as a sexual sin?
Well, I think he required more courage than the basketball player did. I mean, it requires no courage at all today to say, I'm gay. It's my understanding he got a phone call from the president congratulating him on his courage. Well, how much courage can it take if the president's going to pick up the phone and give you a personal phone call, you know? But in the meantime, this fellow who says, you know, I'm a Christian and I believe that sex belongs in marriage and it belongs in man-woman marriage, to say that, now that will bring the, you know, whole wrath of the society down upon your head. So that's the guy who really required the courage, and I give him a lot of credit for it.
In that vein, how much pressure do you think ESPN executives are getting from the gay lobby to suspend or to fire Broussard?
Do you know what? I have not been watching the news all day. You know, I saw the story when it broke. And I haven't been following it during the day, so I don't know if people are leaning on them to do something about this heretical guy who's saying that marriage is the proper context for sex. I mean, can you imagine in 2013 anybody saying such a thing as that, you know? So I don't know that they are, but, you know, if past experience is any guide, they certainly have a track record of leaning pretty hard on people who make these kind of statements, which they interpret as being anti-gay.
Isn't it that simply the most offensive thing that Broussard has done is to say sex and marriage, man-woman marriage, go together, they're inseparable, that's simply the way the thing has been created. And anything else is, in his words, and I think he's quite right, rebellion.
Well, you know, I was actually quite touched by his comments because he sounded... I hate to say this because the gay lobby will certainly pick up on this, but I want you to know I did not coach this man at all whatsoever, but he sounded like a spokesman for the Ruth Institute because he's there saying all of these sins are sexual sins, that fornication, sex outside of marriage, adultery, that all of these things are sinful. And what I would add as a social science person is I would add that we now know that those things are harmful to people. It's not just that God is some kind of big cosmic Napoleon bossing us all around or marching around and strutting at us or something. I mean, God is telling us not to do certain things because they're harmful to us. And we now have all the evidence we need to know that at least as far as men and women are concerned, having sex outside marriage is really not such a great deal. And it's not good for us. And so for him to come out and say that, I've noticed some of the commentary. People are mad at him about saying that. You know, they're not because they correctly see that is at the linchpin of the whole thing. You know, to say that there are boundaries to correct sexual behavior. You know, that there's a proper context for it, a context that will make you happy, a context that is good for society. That's the thought that they reject, right? And so anybody who says who is going to place any kind of responsible limits on people's sexual activity, that person has to be taken down and yelled at and, you know, basically taken to the woodshed. And honestly, he's better informed than a lot of us critics, right? Because we already know that adultery is miserable, that miserable. That all of these things that have been sort of celebrated as increases in human freedom actually turn out not to make us happy, and in the end, don't make us free either, because we get addicted to things. Number one, and number two, as the family breaks down, the state expands and steps in and picks up the slack of things that used to be properly considered the private sector, and it becomes an entree for the state. Coming into the family. So even the idea that we're going to be more free turns out not to be true. So it's a very superficial view that people are promoting in opposition to him. So you're talking into this. I don't know. Maybe I should call the guy. I mean, he sounds like a good guy.
The other issue that has come up in conjunction with this is the issue of tolerance. What do you make of Broussard's definition of tolerance as compared to that of the pro-gay lobby?
Well, you know, I think it was a good thing for him to say that, to say that tolerance means that we all get along and we disagree with one another's lifestyles, but we can still live together and have a candid discussion about what we believe and why we believe it, without getting really obnoxious and punitive and stuff. That's what it seemed to me he was trying to say. So if ESPN fires him. And if the gay lobby gives him a hard time, they will be proving his point, right? They will be acting in an intolerant manner. And so by him putting that out there right away, he has, in a certain sense, set a trap for them. Now, that may not be enough to stop them from doing it. They may think that they can get away with it and so on. But honestly, it will look pretty silly for them. You know, when he's calling for people to be honest and yet tolerant, for them to turn around and be not tolerant and not entirely honest about it, to boot, I think it will end up making them look bad.
I hesitate to raise this, but I think it's kind of obvious to everyone watching the thing unfold that both of the principals in this kind of public give and take are African-American men.
Yes.
And... Well, I have to wonder.
Good, Todd, that's great. Just throw race into it too. Okay, let's just completely stir the pot by throwing race into something already volatile.
I have to wonder, how does not just the announcement of an NBA player saying, I'm openly gay, play in the black community, as far as you can tell. But how does the response given by Chris Broussard, how does that play in the African-American community?
You know, I'm hesitant to comment because I'm not African-American. I don't know how they're reacting to it, and I haven't read or seen how they're reacting to it. So I don't know what to say about that, honestly. What I can tell you is that in some of the political battles that I've been observing, there is a lot of jockeying for position within the black community. So the pro-gay marriage people are investing a lot in finding African-American pastors, for example, in your home state in Illinois. They've invested a lot in finding African-American pastors who will say, gay marriage is okay with God, you know, kind of thing. They're looking for people like that, and, of course, they give them all the airtime they could possibly want to promote that message. Because on the opposite side, there are certainly far more African-American pastors who will say, no, it is against God's word, and I'm not going to say otherwise, and you can't make me say otherwise. You know, the numbers still, for all of the pressure that the black community has been under, the numbers still far and away support the traditional Christian position on these issues. So I think it's just kind of interesting that both of the principals are African American. I don't think anybody planned that. I think that's just the way, you know, I guess a lot of things in basketball would have two African-American men on either side of the issue because there are a lot of African-American men involved. So whether that was planned, I can't imagine it was planned.
Well, two quick final questions for you. How would you respond to someone who says, look, Chris Broussard simply has not yet evolved enough, as have others, on this issue? How would you respond with about a minute?
You know, the word evolution is a peculiar word to use in this context, because when people evolve, when a species evolves or a creature evolves, it's because they're adapting to a more favorable environment, right? And so what are we saying when we say people evolve in their position on gay marriage? We're saying the environment is inviting them to change their views in some way, and they're getting rewarded for it. I wouldn't think that would be a view that the pro-gay marriage people would be wanting to promote. You know, it makes it sound like people aren't really thinking and are reacting in some kind of instinctive way. And so I reject the concept of people evolving, people being pressured, people thinking through and changing their minds. Okay, I can go along with that. People being scared. Okay, I can picture that. You know, I can picture people doing a lot of different things that would make their views change or their stated positions change in one way or the other. But evolve, that's not a properly human behavior, right? That's not even a behavior. That makes it sound like you're an animal that's just responding instinctively. And so I don't want to say anybody evolves. I want to say people have thought or not or are being pressured or not or, you know, something that has a little bit more human volitional dimension to it. That's the way I would respond to that.
Then with only a minute, do you think it was wise for Chris Broussard to call out not only homosexuality as a public sin, but also, and the list is there, adultery, fornication, premarital sex? 1 minute, Ruth.
Well, I don't know. Wise compared to what? I mean, I think it was wise for him to say that because it's true. Okay, and he may take some short-term hits for it, but what I say is God bless him for telling the truth about it. We already know those things are a problem, and we've been told a long time ago by someone who loves us very much that we shouldn't be doing those things. So whatever hits he may take, I think it was wise for him to say that.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris is founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities. She's author of the books Smart Sex and Love in Economics. You can check out the website and the blog for the Ruth Institute tonight. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Jennifer, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Tom Baker. Earlier today, we were talking about Jesus telling his disciples to pray in his name. Well, that's kind of general. There's a right way to understand that, praying on the basis of Jesus' own righteousness, on the basis of who he is and what he has done for us as our Savior. But then Jesus also gives us a prayer to pray, a particular prayer. It's not just an outline. It's not just a general guideline. It is the Lord's Prayer. We'll be in Luke chapter 11 with the Lord's Prayer with Pastor Tom Baker teaching a Sunday school lesson for the remainder of this second hour of Issues, etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, April the 30th.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Have you wondered what classical Lutheran education is all about? Are you a Lutheran homeschooler? Would you like to learn more about teaching students the essentials of biblical interpretation, law and gospel, or worldviews from a Lutheran perspective? Come join the Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education July 16th through the 18th at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. For more information, visit ccle.org. That's ccle.org.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues, etc.
In the 1500s, the Reformers grieved over the view people had of their callings in life, believing work done for the church superior to work done anywhere else. So the Reformers worked to restore a proper balance. But as it's written in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. 600 years later, with the thought of everyone a minister, haven't we gone back? The CLCC has released a new seminar on the doctrine of vocation, an important Lutheran teaching that has fallen into disuse over the years. The solution is to start teaching it once again. The seminar contains four lessons, with a standalone overview lesson available for circuit convocations. Serving our neighbors through our vocations is essential for the task of evangelism practiced according to Scripture. Contact us to schedule your seminar today at theclcc.org. That's theclcc.org. And please, consider joining the CLCC or making a donation to help us bring these powerful but low-cost seminars to the laity. theclcc.org.